Okay, so when you first started the show, you ever think one day you'd have the whole collection out and that it would be this whole cult plastic phenomenon that people are taking a picture of you 20 years later?
No, not in the least. We're just trying to do our best, you know, with what we had. I wanted to say they haven't released the whole set. They've released 100 DVDs, and there's probably about 60 more to put out that they can get.
You have such an interesting story. You started off, you know, making these guys, making things, period, and magic. And I've read interviews that you said that you weren't exactly comfortable acting, that this was kind of like where it was at for you. I mean, how did it all come out for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think over time I've learned that I'm not really a natural-born leader. Yeah. That keeps happening over and over. I'll get involved with stuff, and over time it's kind of like other people kind of position themselves as the leader of the thing. So, I feel I'm just a very creative person, and so I just kind of keep getting put in that position. But I just don't have a strong enough personality. I mean, maybe now that I'm getting, like, I'm 52, so I'm getting more like ornery. So maybe I can do that, but it's true. And I was fortunate in that I started out in magic and was really interested in ventriloquism when I was a kid. I wasn't satisfied with the stuff that, especially in ventriloquism, I couldn't afford really good ventriloquist dummies. They're wildly expensive. So that wasn't available to me, like a good professional ventriloquist dummy. So I found that I could make things that I was satisfied with by collaging, buying pieces of puppets and collaging them into new puppets. And I did the same thing with magic. I would retrofit. I would retrofit old magic tricks and change the way they look to kind of suit my purposes. So that was all really good training, and it was basically on just a function of not having money, but and having parents that both were do-it-yourselfers and makers. So I think that's kind of how I got into it, and knew that it's how I was able to participate creatively by getting things on their feet visually. And so it really worked for us as far as there'd just be no way to get, you know, to have a vision for something and to realize it with what you would pay. I mean, I remember even when we were starting Mystery Science Theater, I showed a friend of mine who was an Imagineer, Crow, and he said, "How much did it cost you to make this?" And I said, "I don't know, it's probably $10. And he goes, "You know, if you would have done that here, it would have been $50,000 to develop a character and make it work." So I think more than anything, having the ability to make stuff really served me, and was kind of the MO for Mystery Science Theater as far as visually how it worked.
Do you think the nature of the show kind of made you come out of your shell a little bit more?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's also really great to, I mean, I was a performer before Mystery Science Theater. I did stand up for a few years, and so I was familiar with it. But when you can, you know, daisy chain a group of people together who are all creative, you can really do amazing things. And so that was like just such a function. I mean, we're so lucky to have so many talented people work on the show, just brilliant, creative people. And so that's really the heart and soul of it. I mean, the only story I can tell is kind of like the ideas that started it and the impulses of what I was thinking, but really it's that. I mean, by myself, it just wouldn't have happened. There's just no way. I'm not that capable, you know.
A lot of your hardcore fans know about Rip Tracks and some of the other things that you guys are doing. What else are you doing?
Oh, I'm starting to do a one-man show. Actually, it's a one-man PowerPoint presentation. I'm starting it next week. I'm doing it at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philly. That's next Friday. November 3rd, I'm in Minneapolis at Parkway Theater. November 4th, I'm in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at Cinema Lounge. And then in December, I think I'm in L.A. at CineFamily. So I'm doing my own show. And also with those, I do secret Mystery Science Theater screenings. So I'll surprise the audience with one of my favorite Mystery Science Theaters. We'll watch that together.
Okay, so what's the show about?
Well, it's really based on the premise that when I was 5 years old, I thought God made the movies. And it's kind of the beginning of my story of kind of like learning, like I said to you about getting into ventriloquism and puppetry and learning about magic and fabricating all these things and trying to, ultimately, I was able to make, you know, an act when I was in junior high and high school, but then that became a stand-up act. And then, you know, the possibility of doing a show was really daunting to me, but when I realized, hey, I could do a show built around a movie, I realized that's something that was doable. Like, if we really only produced like 15 minutes of content and the rest of it was in silhouette, we could do that. I don't know a lot about budgets and a lot about production, but I know that cost-wise, that's much more accessible than, you know, a sitcom or a movie or whatever. So it was really the path of least resistance for me. But that's kind of what the story is figuring out all those little things that kind of added up to MST3K.
Okay. I know this is kind of a highfalutin question, but how do you really want to be remembered?
Oh, boy. I don't know. You know, it's kind of, at the end of the day, it's pretty meaningless, you know. It's kind of like, I like that... some of my favorite parts about Mystery Science Theater, like you said, is people can learn the story of how it kind of happened, that it was really like a little bit about having a vision and not really, and noticing that it hadn't been done yet. And there was like kind of this space in the world to do this thing. And I was telling another guy who was interviewing me earlier, like, the way the world felt. And it was kind of like what we were doing wasn't really considered comedy. It was kind of like this hollow version of... because it just... there was no form prior to that. So to me, I like the idea of... it's really getting fun that I got to see all this happen, and it's still unfolding. It's still growing, and so I'm really enjoying that. And it's really just about people kind of like taking action, being inspired, kind of saying, I have something in my mind that I must show you. That's kind of the story of Mystery Science Theater that I like. And so if people get that, I mean, I'm not the message, I'm the messenger, you know. It's like, it's just about, it's about how brilliant people are and how creative they are, you know.
So you've done stand-up, I think you guys won a Peabody Award, you were nominated for Emmys.
Yeah.
You've done a lot. You got the Blu-rays coming out. I mean, as far as like an entertainer goes, you've done more than most people will ever do.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no. I'm thrilled.
Is there anything else like that you say to yourself, like sit back, like, you know, in the middle of the day, I still want to do this, or I haven't done this?
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's a really good question. Something that I got to do last spring that was really fun was teaching movie riffing. And I got to do a class at a community college, and it was so fun, and I really liked you know, being around young people and seeing the way they like approach it. They're like, because of the internet, because of Twitter, they're brilliant at movie riffing. They're like shockingly good at it. And so I'm like, that was really an eye-opener for me. And so that's kind of what I'm most interested in now, is kind of like doing that. And it's fun.
What college was that at?
It was Bucks County Community College.
Have they signed you on to do it again?
I think so. We're talking about it. It's probably going to be next spring, yeah.
Wow. Do you have any reviews on Rate My Professor or anything like that?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
That would be interesting.
It's completely extra credit. It's not in the curriculum.
It's like
yet.
An elective?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Is there anything else that you want to say to your hardcore fans that might be listening?
Oh, no. Just that I just am so grateful. I love that people have had a good experience with the show, and we really... it really came from our hearts, and I'm just so glad it's still working and people can. It's amazing that it hasn't become irrelevant yet. It still is functioning, you know. So, yeah, that's my piece, pretty much.